You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Earlier today, Browns Executive Vice President of Football Operations, I almost said GM, but he's not. He's Executive
Decision
Vice
Maker.
The Decision Maker. Sashi Brown addressed the media. Here is what he had to say.
Appreciate everyone being here this morning. Glad to meet with you before we head into the draft next week. Already thinking about next year. But really happy to sit with you all, excited about our trade yesterday and where it's positioned us as we try to build this roster, and including as it positions us for the draft next Thursday. I know you all have a ton of questions, so I won't speak too long, but happy to take any questions you all might have at this point.
Sashi, how much of this trade was precipitated by the move up by the Rams to number one? Or was this something in the works even before that?
Not much. We did receive calls earlier than the Rams and the Titans finalized their deal. So it was something that at least was on other teams' minds and ours pretty early on. And we worked a pretty extensive process to understand the players that will be available to us at two and other positions that we could have potentially moved back to.
Is this an indication that you think one of those two quarterbacks will not be a franchise quarterback?
No, I think good question. I think that could certainly be the implication. That's not necessarily what the driver of the decision was. I think Wentz and Goff at this point are pretty consensus 1-2 in terms of the quarterbacks. There's some other talented quarterbacks in the draft as well, but this shouldn't be interpreted as an indictment at all on their potential, you know, to be good starting quarterbacks in this league. As always, there's a risk when you're drafting any quarterback, and even if you're drafting a quarterback at first or second slot in the first round, that they pan out or don't. And we understand that risk of moving back that we may have passed on a quarterback that's going to go on to certainly have a great career in this league. But we felt like for the other additional picks that we were able to acquire, we were in a much better position to build our roster moving forward.
Are you convinced that the deal wouldn't have been sweetened closer to the draft, or is this maybe an omen that maybe there's more to come?
We were convinced, you know, couple things. I think we really liked the eighth slot. Is one thing I would tell you was a particularly valuable piece of the deal for us. We think there's still going to be really talented players at that spot. There's a lot of depth throughout the first round this year. So we like that aspect of being able to have Philly as a trade partner. And we had very extensive conversations with Howie and his team over the last few weeks and felt the deal was very fair to both sides.
Been a problem here for nearly 20 years. Why was volume of picks and asset accumulation a priority over taking one of the two guys at two?
You know, I wouldn't call it so much a priority. I think we came into the offseason, Daryl, with, you know, four or five goals, and a couple of them we've already accomplished. One is finding a great head coach in Hugh that can help start to transform our culture. I think we've done some things within the building. We're off to a great start. There's a positive energy with the guys back early, buying into, you know, Hugh's program and our program here. So excited about that. And the other two things was to, you know, that we really wanted to be able to accomplish was address the quarterback position. We haven't solved that by in any stretch by, you know, acquiring Griffin. But that's certainly one of the things that we're able to accomplish this offseason. And with this trade, we've positioned ourselves, I think, to have, you know, a really strong nucleus of young talent come onto the roster over the next year, two, or three. And we're excited about that. So it was less about prioritizing as much as it was the opportunities, you know, that presented themselves by this particular trade in this hall of picks.
You guys leaned heavily on, like, Hughes. Obviously, one of the reasons you hired Hugh is because of his ability with quarterbacks. Did you get a sense from him that he was willing to say, hey, I like Robert, I like where we are, we don't need a quarterback? Or how did you guys decide to, like you said, there's a little bit of risk involved, and it's not an indictment on them, but why did you guys decide to go ahead and pass on them then?
Yeah, well, we've got four quarterbacks here competing to be our starting quarterback, and Connor and Austin and Josh and Robert. But we absolutely worked hand-in-hand with Pep and Hugh, Andrew, Paul, myself, others, here in the building. Had some discussions with Jimmy as well to bring him up to speed in terms of where we were. And we kind of put all the information on the table and got through some healthy discussions. You know, not easy decisions, obviously, to move out of two with some talented quarterbacks potentially being at that spot for us to take. But we felt like this was the better bet. And there was consensus and agreement in that decision.
Was there any effort or thought going into moving up to one?
No, there was not.
It's also been put out there it was Goff or no quarterback. Is that accurate?
No, that's not accurate either, Pat. Yeah, we think Wentz is a talented young quarterback that's got a shot to be very good in this league, tremendous leadership, very bright.
Which of the two did you have ranked higher?
I won't get into that. How about you, Pat? Who'd you have ranked higher?
Goff.
Okay.
Consideration of waiting longer to make this deal, and why was the deal made when it was?
Yeah, I think I tried to hit on this a little bit earlier, but you know, we had very extensive conversations with Philadelphia. I think it allows both organizations to plan, and they were very aggressive and fair. We were as well. And the third thing I'd say is I think we really liked the eighth spot. We understand someone else may come up and make a little bit crazier offer to Philadelphia if they're really in love with one of the players that are high, and it's more than the quarterbacks, by the way, at the top of this draft. I think, you know, with the ends that are there, some of the secondary players and the linebackers as well, it's a strong class at the top of the draft, some generational players there that you could see some teams coming up for. So we were tempted to stay on the clock, but we felt like the offer to move back just six spots for the picks we were able to acquire was the better bet.
I know you talk about having four quarterbacks on the roster, but did signing Robert enable you guys to focus less on a quarterback at number two and allow you to move back in the draft?
No, you know, Robert's not even our starting quarterback yet. He's got to earn that spot. So I would say no there. I think, you know, is he another piece of our roster? Absolutely, you know, in terms of bringing Robert to Cleveland. We're excited about the potential for him to earn that starting job. But I think on its merits of two versus what we were able to acquire, this was the right choice for building our roster and where we sit now.
We've talked about quarterbacks a bunch, but if you're not guaranteed that Robert turns into the franchise guy, where do you now find your franchise quarterback if you don't take him at two?
Yes, and I think the first thing, Scott, not to be argumentative about it, but even if you take one at one or two, it's not like you've solved it. You know, we've taken first-round quarterbacks previously. Those haven't panned out. Some very high here in Cleveland. But nonetheless, you know, we know that quarterbacks come from different spots in the draft. But as Terry sitting behind you has articulated vehemently over the last month or so, there's no guarantees even if you take a guy at one or two. And we felt like where our roster was, the better decision was to acquire the first next year, the second in 18, and two additional picks here and still be picking at eight. So we like where we're sitting. Tony, please. Sorry.
You said twice now that you'd really like the number eight spot. Are you ruling out moving out of there?
No, not at all.
Why would you move down if you like it so much?
Well, it's the same calculus in terms of what someone's willing to offer and what the player is that could be available to us at that spot.
What is your philosophy on drafting wide receivers?
Oh, I don't know if we have an isolated philosophy on that, but we'd like to have talented wide receivers on our roster, and we feel like the draft is a good place to get them. I know that's probably not the answer you're looking for, but we're not afraid to go get a wide receiver.
Well, let me ask you this way then. How important is a dynamic wide receiver in your eyes?
Important. Can have a huge impact on the game in terms of contributing to both the passing and the run game. When you have a threat down the field, a threat in the red zone, when the field gets short on you, those are important pieces to have. And so we're going to look to see what the draft provides. There were a couple guys we talked to in free agency as well that we didn't acquire, but it's a position that we know we would like to have some very young, talented people at, and we'll look at that.
Sashi, in explaining their trade to their people in Philadelphia, Howie Roseman said that they looked really hard at the next two drafts in the quarterback prospect. How much of looking ahead did you guys consider when making this trade and passing up the number two quarterback?
A bit, but I think it's dangerous to try to forecast where position groups will be. Frankly, it's hard enough to do with the single year, much less trying to calculate where the sophomores and juniors are. That'll be up in the next couple of years. And guys do come out of nowhere. So not much, Tony, to be direct.
This trade, what does it say about what you and your team is trying to do right now?
You know, I think we're committed to, you know, our plan and articulated strategy is the main thing, which is to find a nucleus of young players. We do believe in building through the draft. And so whenever we have an opportunity to have, you know, very valuable draft capital, not only a lot, but very valuable draft capital, an extra one and an extra two in the next 3 years, you know, so for the next 3 years, we're going to have a minimum of three picks over the first two rounds. We like that positioning. And, you know, as I said, we have a plan. We're going to stick to it. We're confident it'll produce results.
Will you spend any more time with some of the other quarterbacks now before the draft, including like a Paxton Lynch or a Connor Cook, bring anybody in and get, well, not bring them in necessarily, but go to them and maybe do some other workout at all?
No additional time. We feel like we've spent sufficient time to understand who those players are and their talents and who they are as people as well.
Potential franchise quarterback in the so-called second tier?
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard to project, right? But if you think of it as a second tier, we do anticipate that there'll be, you know, good quarterbacks potentially coming out of that group, but there's just not the supply of franchise quarterbacks is very, very slim, no matter where you're picking. So it's not a preference necessarily to pick a guy in a later tier. It's just an acknowledgement of the lack of supply at the position.
That was Sashi Brown. We'll be back with part two of his press conference. The executive vice president of football operations for the Cleveland Browns. By the way, I also want to let each and every one of you know that there's an opportunity to hang out with me. Kind of exciting, not really, but to hang out with Big Play Gare tonight at First Energy Stadium. I think that's pretty exciting. So there's an opportunity to do that. All you have to do is go on the Browns official Twitter, respond to their tweet about your favorite Gary Barnage moment from 2015, reply, and you could meet him tonight at First Energy Stadium. It's a Q&A meet and greet, Chalk Talk with Gary Barnage, brought to you by FanDuel at First Energy Stadium tonight at 6:30. Food, beverage included, a tour of the stadium, and you can hang and bang with Big Play Gare. Woo!
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm. We're going to finish up now part two of Sashi Brown's press conference earlier today.
You've got all these picks now it's about making the right ones.
Sure.
Ideally, if this goes as well as it can this year, how many starters should come out of this year's class?
Well, we wouldn't look at it that way. Fair question, but I do think what we want to do is find some players at positions that can impact, you know, our team. We're not going to necessarily reach for positions. We do understand that we're positioned now to have, you know, 12 new faces on our roster this year, which is almost like two draft classes. A number of those high draft picks. And so our hope would be those guys coming in start right away. But we know we have an increasingly young roster here and some guys that will be fighting to keep their positions. And we want to breed competition with young, passionate, tough football players that will start to, again, change the culture here. And we're excited about the opportunity to do that. We would hope, you know, all our guys we bring in come in and start. But certainly we hope to have three or four guys come in and be starting for us in September. But if that doesn't happen, we're not panicked at all.
What are the chances that you would move back up again?
Move back up? Possible, not likely.
Yeah, several months. So everybody's trying to figure out what analytics will play in dealings here. Is there anything you can point to that analytics did that wasn't just a straight football decision?
Probably not, unfortunately, sadly. No. No. I think this was mostly a football decision. You know, from a scouting coaching perspective, we sat down and talked about positioning our roster for winning. Every decision, as we've said, is going to be based on winning. And analytics and information really is what it comes down to. It's a piece of all of our decisions. We're going to make informed decisions here. But there was no driving force for this deal that came from analytics functions.
At some point, you moved past your fears about passing on a quarterback at one or two who might be a franchise quarterback, as two teams very clearly identified that they think there is two franchise quarterbacks that are in somebody's opinion. But how tough was it within your circle? You know, how loud were the voices that said, hey, this guy Goff or this guy Wentz might be? We better think pretty long and hard about this.
Yeah, we had a great process and good discussion with everyone, and talking about the pros and cons of each, talking thoroughly about each player, what they bring to the table, what their strengths and limitations are, chances for success, how they fit in our system with our personnel, our strategy group, Paul, and coaching as well. And then we're able to present that to Jimmy. And that's how we really make every decision here. We really make sure that we have robust discussion, think all the way through these decisions. Doesn't mean we're going to get them all right by any stretch of the imagination. But certainly we feel like we had the right discussions and pushed holes. Even if there's consensus on something, we will slow ourselves down and ask, okay, what could go wrong here? What are we missing? I think Jimmy's really good about challenging us to make sure that we're thinking very thoughtfully through each decision we make, and we feel no different about this one. We had weeks of discussion about this.
The team now has 8 picks from rounds 3 to 5. How have you guys gauged the talent pool for that kind of level of draft?
I'm not a big believer in, you know, this is a weak draft or a strong draft. You know, I think that plays out 2 or 3 years down the road. I know there's always talk about that, but we feel very good about players you're able to get every year, frankly, and in all the rounds. And here we like having more picks, certainly. I feel like we'll be able to get some very good players even outside the first and second round.
Has Ben in charge of this been more or less or than what you expected or what?
In terms of expectations, I would say probably about what I expected. Really happy with the team we've assembled. Andrew Berry, Ken Kovach, Paul DePodesta, you know, Chris Cooper, Kevin Mears, Hugh and his coaching staff. I mean, we have a very young, talented, smart, and collaborative group that, you know, the main thing is to make sure that we empower them and listen and keep the egos out of the decisions and make sure that we're focused on our plan and our goals. And as long as we stay there, and we have done that so far, feel really good about where we're heading.
You know, previous regimes trade down, accumulate a bunch of picks, and not capitalize on them, not hit on them. Is there a concern that you're sacrificing quality for quantity, and just how vital is it to not let that happen?
No. Directly, we are confident in, you know, our preparation in terms of evaluating players. There's always a risk whether we were going to, as somebody wrote this the other day, if we're going to mess it up at 8, we're going to mess it up at 2 also. But we, not to be funny about it, we feel really good about the fact that we have, you know, what could have been a bet on one player now becomes a bet on 4. Understanding that the player that you get at 8 may not be the same choice that you had at 2, maybe for us in our case, actually. But we feel really good about our opportunity to move forward and select players. And that's without comparison or disparagement on the past groups.
Franchise quarterbacks are typically picked number 1, sometimes number 2. But and it's no matter how bad a team is, it's actually hard to land in those 2 spots at the end of a season and heading into a draft. How much did you factor that in? That who knows when you'll ever be up this high again with an opportunity to pick one of the franchise quarterbacks?
A lot. Not an easy decision. You know, I think the better decision for us, but we did factor that in a lot, Mary Kay, just in terms of, you know, when are we going to be this high again? And, you know, be able to select a quarterback. And so we certainly factored that into the decision.
Sashi, if the state of the roster in part dictated the strategy to trade down, did the fact that you did, failed to keep some of your own free agents, solidify that strategy?
No, and when I say in terms of what we want to build in terms of the roster, it's less a reflection on the talent of the roster. It's really just our vision is to bring in as much competition and talent as we can and let that the chips fall where they may, and then Hugh and the guys will have them out there ready to go come August and September. And so, you know, it's less looking, you know, at what we have on the roster now, but really our vision for what we want. We want every spot to be competed for in terms of who's going to be our starter there. And so we like the volume of picks and the quality of picks here. You know, as far as guys that aren't here, we're not focused on them. We're focused on the, I think, 66, 67. I can't keep track day to day. It seems to bounce around. But 66, 67 guys that are on our roster and the 90 that will be on our roster post-draft.
Hey, Sasha, I think Hugh said that you were going to draft a quarterback somewhere. Do you still expect that to happen? And do you have any kind of idea what round you're kind of targeting a guy?
We may not. We haven't decided that at this point, Scott.
Medical reports on Miles Jack, do they make you think twice about taking him at 8?
It wouldn't be appropriate for me to comment on that, Pat, respectfully.
How strong is the relative to the thought that there are plenty of years and you just look at top 10 and say that wasn't much of a crop there? This 2005 would have come to mind for me as one of the precarious ones, but there are those. Relative to past drafts, how strong is that top of the draft and then maybe on through the first three rounds this year?
Yeah, so I think it's always hard to, in the current year, project how strong the draft class is. I'm not a big believer in that, but certainly in retrospect, you look back and you realize there was some weakness in certain parts of the drafts or certain drafts as a whole. Generally, at the top of the draft this year, and this is a little bit what I was speaking to in terms of pick 8, the thought is that there's a lot of talent, particularly high, but also some depth through the first several rounds. So I think a generally strong draft class, and people go position by position, but we're less focused on that, more focused on the players we'll acquire, and we feel confident about where we're positioned.
We got time for about two more.
A lot of teams have two trains of thought when it comes to making selections. Best player available or draft by need. Obviously, as you increase the volume and what you have available to you to spend here, where do you fall there? Best player available or by need?
Yeah, one thing we like about having a lot of picks is you don't feel the pressure, the inherent pressure that if you feel like at a position you're a little void of talent, that you have to reach for a player. So this is good just as a check against our own biases. The volume of picks that we have, but we do want to find the best player that we can at each position. And, you know, over time, we think if we're consistent with that, obviously free agents is another place that you can address positions specifically, but we don't want to get to a point where we're taking a lesser talent just because we need to address a position.
That's Browns Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Sashi Brown, telling you why the Browns made the move and saying, be ready. More might be on the horizon. We'll be back with our final thoughts here on this Thursday as the voluntary minicamp concludes. Phase two begins next week. It's the day after the trade. A lot going on in Berea, obviously, and of course in the NFL, always a lot going on. We'll be back with more CBD right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Dino wrapping it up. Dino, you got to hear from a lot of people, the head coach, quarterback, Sashi Brown. What were your thoughts on the things you heard here today?
I think first things first, you know, I give Sashi Brown a lot of credit. You know, 22 minutes today, he stood up and had to, you know, justify the trade through a media that, you know, is skeptical. And, you know, they have a plan, and they're going to stick to the plan. And I was impressed with Sashi today.
Yeah, I think he did a good job. I think he's clearly become, as time has gone on, significantly more comfortable in his role up there, speaking, addressing the media, dealing with it. And I think he's also very comfortable with now that it's one thing to have a plan on paper. It's when you get to see yourself be able to execute that plan successfully. I think that's when you start to grow with your confidence. And now I think he also knows that this is, that's not the work. The work will be drafting the right players with these assets.
Yes, and what I took from today in hearing from Sashi Brown and having Hugh Jackson here in the Dog Bowl is they're not shying away. They're not giving any information away, that's for sure. But they're sticking to their guns, and I thought how thorough that they really are of thinking of every angle. As you and I could talk about angles as reporters or analysts can, you know, drum up, you know, far-fetched scenarios. Those scenarios are well thought out by Sashi and his team, and convey those to both Andrew Berry and Hugh Jackson to make sure that no stone goes unturned.
Absolutely. All right, that'll do it for us. Want to thank PJB for getting us the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Hugh
thank
Jackson.
You.
And, of course, it was great to have him in studio, the leader of the Hugh World Order. And, of course, we
how
want
many
to thank
is that?
Dino. I don't know. Can
about
you count?
Six?
No, at least more than that.
That's quite a few, yeah.
If each is a Hugh. Hugh
might
World
be five.
Order.
Five.
I think it's more. I think it might be like 20. Want to thank each and every one of you for being with us. The kid says he will make his long anticipated
in studio
return to the Dog Bowl tomorrow.
Wow. I get it. He's got a lot to say.
He
about
does.
The move from two.
By the way, and he is all into RG3. Text me. I'm all in the RG3. He's calling him O-U-R-G-3, which I enjoy. All right. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Thanks again. This has been Cleveland Browns Daily. Can't say it again. Peace.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
Deuces.
He already said it.
I already said it. I blew it. I stole his thunder. Driven.
By our car.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.